There have been multiple accounts of the police, ostensive power and protection, unlawfully stopping and frisking African Americans. This is the cause of a civil rights movement in New York City that goes over the police brutality against black people from the NYPD. Hi, this is Remy Jones with Remy's Reality, going over the civil rights movement in New York City. Let's get into it. To start this off, I want to share some background of what's been happening and what kind of origin starting this entire thing. We start out with a man named Vince Riggins. Vince is a resident in Brooklyn, New York, and he lived in a bad part where there was a lot of unlawful stopping and frisking. He was a man that said he got frisked more than 24 times for no reason. In his own words, he said, "We call it the stop and frisk capital of the world." In this, he was talking about his neighborhood and how corrupt it had become because of all the police brutality. Not all was bad for him, though, because he got to be part of a federal class lawsuit in 2010 that gotten him opportunity to challenge the thousands of unlawful summons dating back to 2007. The city then settled for $75 million, but he only got a few hundred from the encounter. But the fact that he was a part of that is a very good step in the right direction for this problem in New York City. A large cause is thought to be because of Mayor, quote-unquote, Stop and Frisk Bloomberg. There was a total of 685,274 confirmed frisks. This number surprised me because when your stance of power should be preventing things like this and they should be stepping more towards the safety and happiness of the people. Something even more surprising this is Mayor Bill de Blasio. He made it so that the number went down to 11,008. These numbers are very weird in how Bloomberg got them so high or how it got so low for Bill de Blasio. Going past this, we go to 2008. A man named George Floyd filed a federal action lawsuit against the city in Floyd v. City of New York. This lawsuit was under the violations of the Fourth Amendment against him and other black Americans in New York. In his statements, he said that he was focused on not just the unreasonable suspicion that caused the stops, but also 85% of all frisks and stops were made against black and Latino groups, even though both those groups only make up 52% of the city. This case went viral and started getting leverage on August 12, 2013. When they had a 9-week court date on the matter. After this, the city withdrew its appeal on October 14th and the joint reform process, in which all stakeholders from the community groups to the NYPD come together and to agree on solutions. Since then, there have still been cases like this. Once a man and his wife were trying to buy a house, but the landlord was on the suspicion that this man was a criminal just based off the color of his skin. This was then resolved, and he got his house. The landlord even got a rehabilitation class to help him getting over his racial bias. Now that you know a little bit about what's happening in New York, I want to share a story about a book. This book was written by Patillo Beals. And it's about a journey as a child being one of the first black students to be part of an all-white high school, along with the Little Rock Nine. The title of this book is Warriors Don't Cry. This book is the perfect way to see a part of the traumatic history in the eyes of a person going through it. Going through it, you can also see a lot of examples of courage, prejudice, and even injustice. These topics come up a lot and can really change your eyes on how things could have been. All of these things, granted, have still been happening. It's messed up to think that things like this are still happening, but things like the civil rights case in New York can tell you otherwise. In the civil rights case, all of these emotions have been reoccurring, and some of the scenarios have also been very present. Some of these feelings occur when the Beals family were in their local grocery store and they got denied access to it after they did nothing wrong. The Beals family argued about it, and the store owner got really mad and threatened them if they kept going that then they would be kicked out for good. The Beals family should not have been treated like this. but instead they were in a blatant form of injustice. You know what else is the same kind of thing were happening in New York City? The racist homeowner would not sell that house for anything because that man was black and looked like a criminal. These stories have a lot in common. Both had a source of power causing injustice in a weaker group having to endure and persevere. Things like this make me confused, mostly for the fact why people have the urge to act like this. Is it the social standing and thinking that you're better? Or is it the mentality you think you can't have, they can't have what you have because they're different? I don't know, but the answer changes every day. There's another when the characters in this book showed great amounts of courage. There was a very major part in the book where all of them come face to face with the school and the mob surrounding it. All seemed to be lost when they saw the mob and get aggressive and force them to leave. Also, the governor tried to postpone the allowance to be in the school. After the Little Rock Nine had a surge of courage and stood up to the entire school board and governor by challenging them in court, in the end of the day, it did pay off by them winning and getting allowed to be in the school. This was also reflected in the Civil Rights Movement in New York by George Floyd being courageous and challenging the entire city of New York and the biggest power, the police. He challenged the city by suing the police and forcing them to stop under the Fourth Amendment and the challenge that they were violating it. His effort and his wait for 6 years made it, so he got his rights validated and won the court case. These shows of courage go hand in hand in the sense that they both involve the weaker getting own get back by showing everybody that they can do this. To final this off, everybody can do it. Even if you are a low citizen, if you come as a group, you can always do it. Lastly, for this episode, I want to close off with something that gets you to remember this and want to support it in the future. What I want to tell you is that life gets pretty dark at times, but even at their lowest, people got through them. This is because they know that better things will eventually happen to them. Humanity has gone this way for years by having that mindset. So remember how much of hope these people had for their circumstances they were presented? Thank you so much. This is Remy Jones with Remy's Reality. See you next time.